I may mention that the Lord Jesus Christ in himself, as a good shepherd, has all authority in himself. It is not the Father who is raising him. He has the power and authority to lay his life down, and also he has the power and authority to take it again. So it goes to show that the Lord Jesus Christ is all-powerful and that he is omnipotent. I don't want to say just like God, but if you excuse the term just like God. I think someone had mentioned that the Father raised him. He is all-powerful. He raised him. He is raised in the power of the Holy Spirit. But here we have this very same way that there is power in him. He raised himself. What more security do I need and do I have if this one who can lay his life down can take it again?
But he received this commandment from the Father. He links it up with God the Father, as you have in verse 18. This commandment have I received of my Father. Because they're co-equal. The Lord Jesus is God of all, blessed forever. There's no such thing as first person, second person, third person. That's just something somebody dreamed up. The Lord Jesus is God of all. The Holy Spirit is God. In him we live and move and have our being. The Father is God. Not three gods, but one God. Three persons.
But I was thinking that on the point that Brother Bunny is making is that we still have to make it very clear as to what is inherent in the Son that's distinctly different from what the Father gives.
No problem.
And I think if we keep that in mind, because we must do so in terms of John 10. Now, when it comes to John 10 and he says, I lay down my life, he has what is inherent in himself to so do and to take it up again. We therefore can't connect Ephesians with that by saying God raised him from the dead. That's a different line of truth. What we want to get is that he lays it down, inherent in himself is the power to take it up again. We can't connect Romans with it where it says he was raised by the glory of the Father. As true as that is, yet the emphasis here is what is inherent in the Son. And we must appreciate that so that our expressions, and I'm not going to fault us for a word if someone says differently, but nevertheless, but our expression should be congruent with the truth of God's word. He laid his life down. He took it up again because he has power so to do.
Let us be reminded of this very fundamental truth that God cannot die. God cannot die. He is always there. He is eternal. Therefore, he had to come down in the form of a man, sin apart, and suffer for our sins. This is very basic. Sometimes we forget that and we say, well, the Lord Jesus is God, of course, but he couldn't die as God. He could not lay down his life for us. He had to come down as a man. Again, no sin in him. He didn't die for any sin that he committed. Let us also remember that the Lord knew the future. He knew what lay ahead. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what were they talking about? His decease. He knew perfectly well what lay ahead. And he willingly went to that terrible cross for you and me. This is what really should stir our hearts. That here is one who came down for that specific purpose. To die for your sins and mine. And that sacrifice is complete. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing else can be changed. It has been done, and by faith, which also comes from God, we can trust in him and know him as our Savior. And there's the security that we are following one who is very God, but who came as a man to die for you and me. If that had not occurred, what hope would we have? None. This is what differentiates the Lord Jesus from all other earthly so-called religious leaders. What is man trying to do every year, for centuries? Bring down the Lord to the level of a man. It's today true too, you know? Bring him down to the level of a man. And, well, maybe he was God, maybe not. He was very God. And how wonderful that he took our place and we are saved through him. through that sacrificial work. And this is what we have here. This was the commandment that he had received from the Father. He knew why he was coming. He knew what would take place. And he went all the way.
There's the expression in verse 18 elaborates further this thought. He says, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. We might think he would say, I lay down my life, but I have power to rise again. That would sound more natural to us, that he would lay down his life, but he has power to rise again. But he says, I have power to lay down my life. So when we think of the fact that the Lord died, that was no ordinary death. That wasn't just men putting him on a cross, mocking him, and watching him expire. There was power being demonstrated by the Lord himself in his death. When he died, he controlled the very moment he would commit his spirit back to God. He died like no one else ever in the history of all mankind. Why? Because at that very moment, he was doing this for the sheep. He was becoming our sacrifice for sin. And likewise, it was with the end in view that he would also have power again to raise it up. And you know, we've been making a distinction here in this, that through this, his Father loves him, that he has power to raise his life. But we also know in Romans, and it was brought out earlier, he was raised, Romans 6, verse 5, by the glory of the Father. So the Father said, I find such delight in this one, I'm going to mark him out among all the dead and raise him. And so we see the same, that the Father loved him also to raise him too. There he demonstrated his power, his glory in his power of raising the Lord. But the Lord also had the power himself. It's a mystery, is it not?
Brother Bill, I would say that there needs to be a word about the commandment of the Father. Because we have seen and we have heard that it is inherent in him of whom he is. It's like John chapter 2. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up on the third day. He wasn't talking about the physical. He was talking about his own body, as we all know. But nevertheless, the Spirit of God still highlights before us that it was a commandment that he received from the Father. And what is that commandment? I certainly have peace in thinking that commandment is this. That God raised him from the dead, we know that. But it's the commandment of the Father that his only Son would raise himself up so that everyone will understand that he is co-equal to me. And this is the desire of the Father. Sometimes we lose sight. The Father is not, doesn't want people to think that the Son is lesser than him. The commandment of the Father is for all to know that the Son knoweth the Father, and the Father knoweth the Son, and I and the Father are one. This is that I feel personally what the commandment of the Father had in view, that he would have the authority and the power so that there will be declaration before all, and especially before the sheep, that Christ Jesus is co-equal with the Father himself. And the Father said, he that honoreth the Son, honoreth the Father.